Welcome back. Well, Barloworld released its annual results today, and revenue and operating profit have been hit by a triple whammy. The closure of the group's loss-making logistics business, logistics revenue falling back nearly 13%, and the automotive division's revenue also down. But it has managed to lift operating profit by 2.3%. The company's CEO, Dominic Sawela, joins us with greater perspective now on the full-year performance and how it's positioning the group for future growth. Dominic, thanks so much for your time this evening. So it's been a tough operating environment for Barloworld. Headline earnings per share overall coming in 7.7% lower. Are you seeing any light at the end of this tunnel?
Yes, certainly. When you take into account that, you know, there are certain actions that we've taken, like, you know, closing some businesses and putting some, you know, for sale, you know, that has impacted our revenue. And but also, you know, the fact that there are certain once-off in the numbers, you know, so when you look at those numbers like for like on a normalized basis, we're up 1.4%. And when you look at our balance sheet as well, we've got a very strong balance sheet. Our net debt level has reached its lowest at 1 billion. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting with very strong cash position, you know, because our business has generated 3.1 billion cash this year, plus what we've held, you know, in Spain. So we're sitting comfortably at 7 billion of cash in hand.
So while you've experienced low trading activity and, you know, the non-renewal of contracts in late 2018 on the one hand, on the other hand, you've got equipment, Southern Africa and Russia contributing to earnings. And like you say, you've seen quite a shift in your free cash flows as well. So how much do we read into that when it comes to it reflecting the environment you're operating in right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, you need to sort of disaggregate certain elements of, you know, where we operate in. You know, I think when you look at our logistics business in the greater scheme of things, it's not that big. You know, so when you look at the operating profit as well as, you know, the invested capital in that business, so it is not as huge. But notwithstanding, you know, where it matters most is in areas like our Russian business. You know, that business, notwithstanding that it is down to 8%, but it has delivered, you know, exceptional performance, be it on the cash level, be it on the return, you know, and operating margin. Similarly with South Africa, you know, the business has had major headwinds given what's going on here at home, but, you know, at the back of delivering, you know, some of the orders on our mining side and our operations at DRC, they've actually done phenomenally well.
Dominic, what's the sense you're getting of the mining industry? Because, you know, we are certainly starting to see some improvement filter through on parts of the earnings scene, and that even with the US-China trade negotiations hovering negatively over a global economic growth potential.
I think when you look at mining companies in general, they're all in a very good shape, you know, because they've started doing some work many years ago, some of them over the last 3 years, cleaning up their balance sheet. So most of them are hovering on spending money, but they're not going to spend money when there's economic uncertainty. So the problem in Southern Africa, it is the issues of, you know, certainty on policy. So mining companies will choose to invest elsewhere. So if I took you to Russia where we operate, you'll think there's a mining boom, notwithstanding what's going on. However, you know, in other areas in South Africa, you know, there are certain segments that are not doing well. But having said so, you've seen a turnaround in the platinum, you know, companies, and we're beginning to deliver, you know, orders into that market. And so when you look at commodity by commodity, you know, overall, you know, that's why you see our company doing better in South Africa in spite of all the challenges.
In the meantime, you've got your automotive division register a revenue decline, logistics also coming under pressure, and you're merging both those segments of the business. So talk us through the rationale there and how you come to extract synergies from both those spaces.
Yeah, so when you look at automotive, we've got three divisions in that area. We've got a motor trade, we've got Avis Fleet, you know, we've got Avis Rent-A-Car. Where we're getting, you know, a major headwind is in Avis Rent-A-Car, mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, when you look at inbound tourism and local tourism, you know, it is negatively impacted. But when you look at our motor trading business, basically that business has done exceptionally well. And this is largely because 2 years ago we closed some dealerships. We basically, you know, aligned to ensure that each and every one of our dealerships is properly sized, and we are seeing the benefit of that. I think when you look at Avis, you know, our fleet, you know, that's the business that we intend to sell 50% of it. And the reason why we're doing so is to ensure that that business is properly empowered and we are able to, you know, report it below the line so that we can actually, you know, get more contracts, you know, as an empowered entity.
So what kind of cost savings are you anticipating raking in?
So basically, you know, that's going to be the rationalizing head offices, because you would have had two head offices of a logistics as well as, you know, automotive on one end, but also rationalize, you know, spend, because we spend well over $7 billion between the two entities. So there it is where we're going to have loss. I mean, not so much so in letting people go.
Okay. Of course, all of this comes on the back of you already having disposed of your logistics business, KLL. Do any other units sit on the chopping block at this stage, Dominic, where you're having to dispose of KLL, and that illustrative of the fact that it can't be easy selling businesses that aren't performing in a tough market?
You know, our view, KLL, we haven't sold. We basically closed because it's difficult to sell a business that was losing money. You know, this one.
Because it's been too hard to sell, right?
Yeah, and because if you're selling, you know, a company that's losing profit, I mean, nobody's going to buy it, you know, if it's making losses. You know, so our view is that we close that one. And but I think two other businesses that we're selling, I mean, we are underway with buyers on those two assets. And, you know, for me, I don't think there's anything else that we'll be selling. Hence, I said, you know, when I was releasing my results earlier this morning, to say we are now focusing more on growth, and the growth will be more acquisitive. And in this very market where people are negative, you know, there are going to be good assets to pick. And because we are sitting in a comfortable position where our balance sheet is healthy and we have firepower for us to be able to.
Dominic, so how much are you dedicating towards acquisitive spend?
I think when you look at the fact, you know, as of the period under review, we were sitting with close to about $7 billion of, you know, unencumbered cash. We also are sitting with, you know, our facilities that we haven't utilized. So we're sitting with anything from $16 billion of, you know, capital that we could allocate to acquisition.
Let's leave it there. Dominic, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Dominic Sewela, who's chief executive of Barloworld.